I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. And let me just say a word to you. Sunday night is a very important night to be in church and for you to listen as you are at home. Sunday nights are very special. Somebody asked me recently, what was my favorite service? And I pastored for over 37 years. And what was my favorite service? And I told them that Sunday night was my favorite service. And there's reasons for that, but I'll not go into those. But it's good to be in church on Sunday night. And I want to say something to you. You may think I'm not being faithful because I'm not here on Sunday night a lot of times. And I hope that everybody understands that if I'm not here, I'm out preaching somewhere. Okay? So I hope you realize that. All right? If I wasn't going to be somewhere in a service preaching somewhere, I would be here on Sunday night. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I'm going to start in this passage of Scripture. And if you would, just about verse 6, we'll begin there. And we'll read several verses. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we come seeking, Lord, your guidance now in this service. Overcome our ways and our thoughts through your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a verse that probably you remember. If any man does not work, neither should he eat. And that verse is a very strong and verse that has a great deal of weight to it. And it's not an effeminate verse, I might tell you. This is a verse that has great ramifications. If a man doesn't eat work, then he should not eat. Some say that that was a part of a Jewish proverb. I do know that it's inspired of the Lord here for us to hear. I'm not going to take that verse just by itself, though, tonight. But in this passage of Scripture, there are some, Paul says, that walk disorderly. And I want to speak on the orderly behavior. Orderly behavior in comparison to disorderly behavior. And I'll be dealing with many different areas tonight of disorderly conduct, disorderly behavior, comparing that to orderly behavior. Now, specifically, Paul was talking about this matter of some not working. It may have been, as they had confusion on the second coming of Christ, that some were thinking it doesn't do any good, you see, to keep working in different ways as men should, to feed their family, themselves, and so on, and take care of their responsibilities. We should just now wait maybe for the Lord Jesus. I do not know the reasons, but that might have been for 1st and 2nd Thessalonians has to do with the Lord's coming again. To some extent. But for some reason, there were people in this church that had quit working as they ought to work and taking care of their personal responsibility. And Paul calls it a conduct that is disorderly. Now, not only were they neglecting the responsibilities that they had, but they also then, in neglecting of that and time on their hands, they got into responsibilities that were not theirs, and they became busybodies. You know, if you don't take care of your own responsibilities, almost always you're involved in somebody else's responsibilities and making a busybody out of yourself. So when we neglect our own responsibilities, we tend to take the wrong responsibilities that are not ours. And that's a disorderly conduct. You're walking disorderly. Paul said, now I could have, when I came, by the way, this is a city in what would be Europe, what is Europe today, and Corinth also was in Europe, in Greece. These were cities that didn't have a great deal of Jewish culture involved. And it would be very normal for a Jewish person to understand that their leaders should be paid out of that work that they did in their synagogues and so on. And that would be a normal procedure. And in fact, the apostles practiced that, except for the apostle Paul. And sometimes he also received. But as he got into areas that had very little background in this kind of thinking, he would not take the offering that would be normally his and that he could expect, and that in fact was right for him to take. But he did so because he did not want to harm his message and have people think that he was doing it for the money. Now, it's a responsibility of a church to see that the pastor's needs are met. And if we receive the fruit of the Word of God from somebody, we can at the least help them with the fruit of our labors, you see. So that's an orderliness. But Paul was saying, I came and labored among you. I could have not made the tents and done the things that I did to feed my own mouth, but I did not want you to be have a stumbling in your life. And so Paul was expressing to them his hard work that he did among them, and he said that was an example for you to also work hard. In other words, Paul had two jobs, you see what I'm saying. And now he's correcting these that are not working at all, and then have become busybodies. We live in a day where there's a great amount of excusing ourselves for not taking our personal responsibilities. We live in a society that excuses people's wrongdoing because of something that maybe was done to them. We do not ever have an excuse for not taking our own personal responsibilities. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what somebody has done to us, no matter the failings of others toward us, we still have the responsibility that we are given to by God to carry out, and we do not have any excuse for it. You say to your children, just because he did something to you does not mean you should do something back to him. You're to take your responsibility and do right. But aren't we living in a day where people are excusing their own lack of responsibility for doing right because something they say has been done to them? That's walking disorderly. And we need to realize that if we walk disorderly, then we do not eat. Do you understand that? If you do not take your responsibilities, then there are serious consequences to your personal life. And we want to look at that. And all of us in this room have times in life where we walked without the responsibility taken. We've been disorderly. And many of us in this room have consequences to this very moment that we live in because of that disorderly conduct. It tends to stay with us and tends to affect us the rest of our life. And so we want to be careful. And we're going to look tonight, and I'm going to preach a little longer maybe. All right? You want to vote on that? We're a Baptist church, and we can vote. But I think the Lord's vote counts tonight. There's three areas of responsibility that I want to deal with. And by the way, you'll often hear a preacher talking about three things. It seems to come in a triangle truth. And oftentimes you find three things. There's three gifts that last forever: faith, hope, and charity. And there's the three persons of the Trinity. And really, there's three basic sins that we discover in the temptations of Christ. There's so many three. I preached a men's conference recently, and every time I was dealing with three things. And I said on the last meeting, I said, I'm not going to deal with three things tonight. And lo and behold, before I got through, I was dealing with three things. I've had people say to me, do preachers just make up three things to preach on? And I read a lot of Spurgeon's sermons, and he oftentimes has three things. If you've read his sermons, you know that. But it's not because we make that a plan. It's because oftentimes there are three things that we deal with when we deal with the truth of the Scripture. And a balance. Now, oftentimes we think of a truth over here and a truth over here, and they balance each other. But oftentimes it's three truths. It takes three to get a good balance. And that's the way it is tonight. Now I'm not going to... These are not profound things. But there are three, and you've heard this, I'm sure, before. But there are three institutions of God in this world. And it's in those three institutions that we find our responsibilities. And we all have responsibilities in all three institutions. These are institutions that God brought about and gave to man. And in the man's fallen condition, we need some governance of God. And God gave us these three institutions to help us and direct us and help us in our life to be proper and balanced and do the right thing in life. And they're not just these three institutions for Christians, but they're institutions that all people need and hopefully could be a part of. All right, and here they are. The first institution of God that he brought about was family, wasn't it? Now, when I tell you something about the family, I'm not talking about a family out there in Never Never Land. You know what a family is, don't you? And you're not a part of my family, not in this institution. It's my family. I know who they are. And we just lost a family member. Now, you didn't lose a family member, but I did. You see, family. That's an institution of God. And when God created man, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And then he gave them commandment to replenish the earth. And the family is that nugget, that core of all of society. And we have to have family for us to function and for us to be able to function. But I say to you that the responsibilities of family have been greatly neglected today. And you have responsibility. Whether you have children or not, whether you're married or not, you have family. And you have responsibility to family. And this is a responsibility that if we do not work in that responsibility, then we will not eat. That is, we will not have the blessings that God would give us and that are needed in our life. If you do not eat physically, you will die. And if you do not have family, you cannot function as you should. But for you to have family, you have to take your responsibility of family. There is a position that you must take. And if you do not, and if you neglect it, then you will fail. And your life will be very, very much harmed. And if you do not take your responsibility, you will tend to get into wrong responsibilities. Now, you know what I'm driving at, don't you? Men, if you don't take your responsibility as husband and father, then you're going to be out there with the guys at some bar somewhere, you see. You're going to be a friend, but you're not going to be the father and husband that you ought to be. And I'll get into that just when we look at some others in this. But fathers have a responsibility, and shame on us when we neglect that. Somebody says, my husband didn't take the responsibility. Then that's hurt you, hadn't it? Deeply. And may I tell you that the devil takes every father here and tries his best to get you away from your responsibility. He'll fight you on your responsibility head on. And he will continue, and he'll continue and continue. And I have to say, no matter if your children are grown or not, you still have that responsibility as a father to teach and to train and so on. And we'll get into that. Mothers, my mother taught school when I started to school. But I'm going to tell you something. It would have been better if she could have stayed home. And taken the responsibility more fully. We were in a restaurant the other night. Lady said, are you here in a special occasion? I said, yes, it is a special occasion. It's our anniversary. How long have you been married? And I said, a lot of years. And 49. Oh, my. Do you have any children? I said, yes, we have children. And I told her. And then my wife, she always wants to add. And we have so many grandchildren. And, she said, that's wonderful. Say, that's wonderful. And then she said, I couldn't stay home. I'm not fulfilled. Then you'll not eat if you don't take your responsibility. Do you understand that? And the time, I know, this is, look, women, you like it when I say those men ought to be good fathers and take their responsibility. But I'm going to tell you something. Mothers, wives, let me tell you, it is a lot of work to have children. And it's a lot of work to raise those children. And then after they're raised, it's a lot of work with some grandchildren. And it is a great privilege, and you will eat sumptuously if you take your responsibility. Who invented mothers working out there? We don't find it here in the Scriptures. Now, I know there's necessity sometimes. I understand. I realize there's responsibility sometimes that falls on. And my dad had a heat stroke. Had two of them trying to farm and start a church. And after the second one, my mother started working. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something, that there is a responsibility that best we can, we need to meet. The family is an institution that God gave to us, and mothers need to nurture and raise children. Amen. Now, there's some people that can't have children. I understand that. I realize what God puts some into. I realize this. But in a normal situation, and it was normal in this country before World War II, that the mothers were home helping the children. And after that ceased, our country has been starving
Juvenile delinquency has risen, and it's not just the problem of kids, of lost parents, it's in our own churches. There was a time when Sunday school and Bible schools were full of children. Today, where are they? There's been a deep, deep neglect. Now, I've preached like this before, and I know I've always, somebody's got their feelings hurt on this. But if you couldn't, and you've got a daughter, help them to understand that the greatest privilege of life as a mother is to raise her children. And direct them to that. Oh, I'm a computer programmer, so what? Well, I'm a banker. Now, you remember what we call this? Orderly conduct. And if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't. And what's his responsibility? To work. And what's the problem in society today? We're not taking our responsibility. And children are not learning to take their responsibility. And what do we got? We've got a millennial generation that is so self-centered. Let me tell you something. Every child knows when his mother has sacrificed for him. Now let's talk about the responsibility of husband and wife. Husband, you're to love your wife. Sacrifice yourself for her. That's your responsibility. Wife, you're to submit to your husband. How? In everything. Do you know how my children correct me? By the pain that they suffer when I've led them wrong. Do you know my wife has corrected me many times? By the sorrow that I've given to her when I've done wrong. Do you know how she's never corrected me? Never. Do you know how my children learned to submit? It wasn't just by dad being hard, but by the example of a mother submitting to her husband. You're going to walk disorderly or walk orderly? Am I being mean, Mrs. Doyle? I'm telling you, this ought not to be in churches that has to be preached. I can understand the world, but I do not understand Christians. Especially if you get upset over the preaching of God's Word. Equal rights? No, we have responsibilities. And that core institution sets the precedent for all other things in life. If my children learn to submit to me as a father through the example of their mother, they will learn to submit to that policeman that's telling them to get on the ground. And let's go further. If as a father and mother we learn this principle of orderly conduct, that policeman will learn there's authority over him. And that president will know that he cannot do everything just like he wants it. You understand? But when we have a breakdown in this, our whole society breaks down. And we begin to starve. Disorderly conduct. And we could go on and on. Quit trying to run things. your own way. Do it God's way. Or you're going to starve. And then there's government. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, it tells us the beginning of government. That by man, man's blood shall be shed. If a man sheds blood, kills another man, then by man, his blood shall be shed. That's government. And God instituted government. Did you know that before the flood, there's no hint of government? And violence filled the land. If you're the meanest and biggest, you had your way. But after the flood, God instituted government to control this heart of man. This is not new to you, I know it. But I want you to understand that when you do not walk in orderliness, then you will suffer for it. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, that is the government official, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, what are we talking there? And I tell you what I heard this morning, a wonderful, wonderful message. And it was balanced, it was right, it was clear. And we needed that. And we need to hear more of that. And there is a time when government says you cannot preach and we must violate their order. Because God has commanded us to preach and to sing. And to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we must not violate God's command. Shall we obey God rather than man? But you see, what we deal with here is a disorderly conduct. And let me explain what I mean. The government has an orderly way that God has given them. And they're to take that and use it. And it's for the protection against evil. For the protection against evil doers. And so the guy that comes to your house and breaks in to steal your things must be stopped, and that is government's responsibility. And the threat from outside of our nation is the government's responsibility to protect the citizens of its country against that threat. And you know that. That's the orderly conduct. But because oftentimes they fail in that conduct, that responsibility that God gives them, and they walk disorderly, then they get into business that is not theirs. And by the way, welfare is not their business. Social Security isn't their business. God did not ordain government to take care of you and feed you. And when government does that, steps into the position of a father. You follow me? They mess up the home. It's not just that they're not taking their responsibility and walking disorderly in that, but then they become busybodies and do things they shouldn't be doing and spending money on things they shouldn't be spending money on. And when they do that, they wreck things. Back in the 70s, during the Jimmy Carter's days, he had a family conference. He started it in every little town. Somebody he got a hold of, or somebody that politicians knew, would start this family conference. And they would invite the people of the town, leaders of the town, and they would have a discussion on how to help the family. And then they would elect people to send them to the state conference. And then the state conference would elect people to go to the national family conference. I don't know if anybody remember that or not. Well, I went to the conference there in the little town I pastored in. And we took it over. And we told them. And I got up and made a speech. And I said to them that there's welfare people here, you see, social workers. I said, it's not the business of social workers to take care of these situations. It's the business of the church. And I said, that's why you're failing. You got into a business you didn't have any business to get into. Did you know I thought I was going to offend them? But you know those social workers came up to me later and said, I think you're right. We have all these people people being arrested, their children who's to take care of them. I have all this foster care and so on. And they don't know what they're doing. God has ordained His institutions and the people in those institutions with responsibility, particular responsibility in those institutions. And if those institutions are taken, the responsibility rightly taken for the right individuals in those institutions, if they're carried out, then we've got not a chaos, not a disorder, but an order. And we need that to function. And if the government spends all their money on throwing money at people so that the mother doesn't need the father, doesn't need the husband, and breaks the children out of their core family, pretty soon the society begins to starve for the things that are needed. Now, then there's the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about all these people out here saved. I'm talking about, just like I was talking about, your family. Are you with me? There's a core here. And the church, you see, you can't think of family without thinking of that family. Father, mother, children, grandparents, aunts and uncles. You've got to think in those terms. Concrete, solid terms. And we're talking about a church. We're talking about concrete things. If we're going to talk in abstract, then nobody has any responsibilities. But if we're in a real functioning church, then there's individuals that carry individual responsibilities. And they must be working. What is our responsibility? You know, to preach the gospel in all the world is to tell people of Christ, to bring them to salvation, to a knowledge of Christ. Preach, I know the Spirit of God must do it. I understand that. But we must do it also. Our responsibility is out there. I could say, well, I don't need to work. The Heavenly Father will feed my children. No, no, no. You have a responsibility. Everybody in the church has a responsibility to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the responsibility to make disciples, to bring them and train them, teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I'm with you. Now, that wonderful presence of Christ gives us that opportunity to do it. Secondarily, we are to take care of the orphans and widows. Now, it's orphans and widows indeed that don't have family. There are people that are helpless. Situations come, and the welfare falls upon the church, the body, not a mystical thing out there, but you and I. And there's needs that people have. And then they're responsible, you see, when somebody helps them one-on-one in a community. Then those that are sincerely wanting to come and be helped and helped out of the condition, they don't want to carry on in that same way because it's maybe embarrassing to them, or maybe it's something that they don't want to have to get somebody and look them right in the eye and say, I have to have them. No, there's a wonderful opportunity then for individuals, if they can, to then get on back into their own work. And it corrects much more easily the problems and so on of individuals. And it works. Now the truth is, most churches don't want that responsibility, because it's going to cost them something. And it's easier to give it to the government. And the government just messes it all up. Is it orderly or disorderly? And there was a time when the person in the community that had hard times knew that a church could help them. And by the way, they'd come at the last of it. And by the way, there's a lot more welfare than just helping somebody poor. There's the government bails out the farmer like crazy. Now, boy, if I was in Oklahoma preaching this right now, would they ever be mad at me? But most farmers today are dependent upon government, and if they didn't get their government help, they would not survive. Now, it's a mess, isn't it? Why is it a mess? Because there's been disorderly walk in our homes, in the government, and in our churches. And it's a mess. How can it get straightened out? Well, Jesus said that you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. When the churches, when God's people, when individuals set the proper course and show a guiding light, there can be understanding and change and movement. But you see, as God's people, we need to take the responsibility for our own wrong actions, for our bad attitudes toward each other, for our lack of love for our fellow citizen. And by the way, let me say this to you. I missed something in this. I should have taken better notes. I can't hardly preach from notes, but I admire those that do. But if you, as a citizen of this nation, you know, if I was in a dictatorship, then all the responsibility rests upon that dictator. But we're not in a dictatorship. We are in a republic, and you have the responsibility of government. You, as an individual. And who is elected to the school board, you need to know. You need to know who's being elected to those judgeships. You need to take the time to find out what they believe, what they think, how they are. That's because you're the government here. I don't mean that you should just be all politically wrapped up in all of that. I'm not talking about you running a campaign for somebody. I'm talking about you taking the responsibility to vote properly and to know what's going on around you in government. And if you don't take your responsibility in that, we're going to starve. By the way, when we got to the state conference, the governor of Mexico was a man named King. Mrs. King was in charge of that conference, and she was a liberal. And was she not mad? Because it had not only happened in that town where I pastored, but towns all over New Mexico. Pastors had got involved and elected people to that state conference that ran it, and ran it on a biblical basis of what a family really was. And what a government should be. in relationship to, and she got up there and chewed us out. And she didn't get her way.
All right, that's just a side note. All right. But we are the salt and light. Where do you start? You start in your home. There's a lot of things we can't correct. I understand we're too old. I can't go back and redo my life. But I've got some granddaughters about to be married, and I can sure try to influence them. We can set down some principles. And you can get over it. You understand? Get over you being wronged by somebody. You wives that have been wronged by some husband, get over it. And start teaching these young people that the best thing they can do is to learn a submissive spirit, meek and quiet spirit. And therefore, they better choose the right guy when they get married. You've got influence. Use it. Get over your rebellion. Get over your excuses for your own failings. Become the prop, set the proper course relative of mine that just died. When he was a young man, he was going to marry the wrong woman. And I told him he shouldn't be marrying her. But he married her anyway. And what is sad in this time is all the dysfunction, all the heartache that this family is going to go through because of those past failings. Disorderly conduct. And my dad, I told you. My dad told my brother not to do it. And he didn't listen to his authority. We as church needs to set the example for those in government. I fear that many government officials think that churches are simply a social organization, that they really don't mean business, and if we tell them not to sing, they won't. But we need to set the example that we love the Lord and that there is a government above their government. And that they're going to answer to God like we're going to answer to God. And not be arrogant and proud in it, but humble before them. And say, we must obey God. We need to set the example. And somebody has got to do it. And I say to you, it looks like, doesn't it look like to you that it's too late? Don't believe it. So the best parents I know were those in the deepest trouble as young people. But God got a hold of their heart. And they learned from their failings. And some of the people that have strongest failings, strongest families, come from homes that are broken, that were broken. Deeply fractured. But they learned from the Lord. And they set the example then for the next generation. My father ran away from home when he was 14, and my grandfather beat him with a bull whip before he ran away from home. It wasn't a wonderful family. But Dad learned from the Lord. It's not too late. If a man does not work, what does that mean? He's not taking his responsibility. Then he's not to have the blessings. And I'm going to tell you something. God enforces that. But if we take our responsibilities, God has our blessings in his life. Wherever you are, whatever you've gone through, whatever your past, whatever all the failings are,
you have a wonderful opportunity. If you can't say, do what I did, say, don't do what I did. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Women's livers, you're miserable. Wives, if you're submissive, meek and quiet, you may go through some hard time, but in time you will not regret being the wife you ought to be. If you can't be now, don't encourage somebody to follow in your footsteps. How will you win a lost husband? By living for God and taking your responsibilities and not giving excuses. In church, let's preach the gospel. No excuses. Let's quit being afraid. Let's take the responsibilities. God has a feast, and a great feast it is. And pray for revival. Pray for God's work to be done. Have the day of Pentecost come. God can set things in order again.